Material poverty is a major problem which affects people globally. And in addition to it being a major problem, it also has a direct impact on their mental well-being and their spiritual health as well. What does the Quran instruct to eradicate poverty and lift up the human being to a respectable standard of life? Well, today we review the topic of material poverty. Out of sight, out of mind. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And welcome back to Ramadan Reflections for the 25th day of this blessed month of Ramadan. And that signals the fact that we are now in the home stretch. We're on the last few days and nights of this blessed month of Ramadan. And I hope and pray that we've all been able to make the maximum benefit of this blessed month. Another Ramadan for most of us in COVID, in a lockdown with our centers being closed. But as we know, Allah does not reside only in the masajid or the houses of worship. As long as we allow Allah into our homes and our hearts, Allah will be there. Yes, there's a different feeling when you pray in a congregation or you recite supplications in a congregation of 50, 100, 1,000 people compared to reciting it at home, maybe on your own because you have no family, or maybe with your spouse and children. But we recognize the fact, brothers and sisters, that we make the most of every situation that we are in. And we recognize the fact that although supplications in congregation may be more readily accepted, but this lockdown that we are facing and the Ramadan on our own, it also has a transformative effect on the human soul. Today, in this theme for Ramadan Reflections, when we're looking at the topic of material poverty, out of sight, out of mind. You know, the statistics that are available tell us that today on Earth, almost 700 million people live in what is deemed as extreme poverty. Living on less than $2 a day, the amount that some of us spend on a cup of coffee or a donut or a sandwich, just for a few moments, there are 700 million people on earth who live on less than what we spend on a soft drink or a beverage or a small bite to eat or a pack of chips, for example. And statistics further go on to mention that out of those 700 million people living in extreme poverty, children and youth account for 2/3 of those poor. Children and youth who should be in school, getting an education, becoming, you know, the next greatest scientist or entrepreneur, are living on less than $2 a day, probably not even able to go to school because they can't even put food into their stomachs to focus on studies. Now, on the other hand, the richest person on earth, and you know, there's always this competition in the list of the top 500 or top 100 or top 10 of the richest people on earth, and they're competing back and forth to become the richest. And I'm not going to mention names. We know who these people are. But on the other hand, as I said, that the richest person on earth today, he makes $1,243 per second. Not per minute, not per hour, not per day, per second of every day, due to his business and his investments and all of the money that he is generating and the revenue he is bringing in, $1,243 every second. That means that in this Ramadan Reflections for today, the 25th day of Ramadan, which will take you maybe 10 minutes to watch, that man will have made $745,800. Considering that the average, or considering that, you know, 700 million people live on under $2 a day, that's a sad reality. It's a sad statistic. Now, on the other hand, when I continue to look at the richest, the second richest, or perhaps the third richest person on earth, has amassed such a wealth today that were he to spend $1 million every day, it would take him 245 years to spend his entire fortune. I kid you not. That's how rich the richest are, that they make millions of dollars a day, and were they even to try and spend $1 million a day, they couldn't do it in their lifetime or their kids' lifetime or their grandchildren's lifetime or their great-grandchildren's lifetime. And as we know, the more money that they have, the more that they invest, the more the compound return comes, they would literally never be poor unless some catastrophic, apocalyptic tragedy happened and wiped out their entire wealth. Unfortunately, we see this balance in this misbalance in the world today between the haves and the have-nots, between those who have so much money they don't know what to do with it, and those who have nothing and are looking just for the scraps that people can give to them. And unfortunately, one of the tragedies that we see in this world is, as we titled this lecture series for today, is that out of sight, out of mind. You know, when we live far away from the urban centers, and especially today in the COVID-19, where we don't even have to go to work, we're not commuting anymore, we're working from home for the most part for many people. And on the television, maybe we won't watch those news reports that show the other side, the other reality of people who are not able to pay their rent, whose homes are being foreclosed upon because they can't make their mortgage payments, who are being kicked out in the streets. When we don't see these people, when we don't know people in our own family or maybe in our local community, our faith community, the followers of Islam and the followers of Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon all of them, when we don't see it affecting them here locally where we live, we tend to forget that there are people in other parts of the world, or maybe in other parts of our country, that don't have it as easy as some people do. And so that is one of the challenges that the Quran has presented to us, is how do you deal and how do you try and alleviate human suffering? Now, it's true that we cannot completely remove and eradicate human misery. Poverty may always be there until the time of the return of the 12th Imam, Imam Mahdi, may Allah hasten his return, and when we were told that situation will be such that people will run around looking for people to take their charities and they won't find anybody. But today we are not in that situation. Today we are in the complete opposite, where there's never an end to people who need financial support, who need some sort of upliftment in their lives. And this is where the Quran presents responses to us of how to deal with poverty. You know, whether it be the economic system that in Quran envisioned, that isn't one of a complete balance and a sharing of wealth and resources where everybody's equal. No, Islam does not advocate that. But it does advocate things like zakat, a particular form of Islamic charity or Islamic tax rather, applicable upon certain aspects of life. There is khums, another form of an Islamic tax, which has some specific applications. You have the sadaqat, the recommended charities, which Islam has asked us to give for our own betterment first and foremost. And then as the outcome of it, it goes to the people who are needy in society. They also benefit from that wealth that we give out. And many other ways that Islam really used even the sins that we perform and the expiation, the kafara, the penalties that we need to pay to be able to help people who are in need. And it's almost as if Islam and the Quran and Allah ultimately wanted us to recognize the fact that, you know what, the only way that you can attain righteousness, the only way that you can maybe even be granted salvation, is to ensure that other people in society are looked after. And you even see in the Quran, and we see in the Quran, that God talks about salat and zakat, praying and charity, and they go hand in hand. One of the topics that the Quran has expressly spoke about and laid emphasis on, as we see in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2, verse 273, is where God encourages us to go out and look for the needy. Because sometimes we can't tell who needs unless we know them very intimately, we know them personally, or we're introduced to them. And so what does Allah say in chapter 2, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 273? Well, He says the following. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ الَّذِينَ أُحْصِرُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَطِئُونَ ضَرْبًا فِي الْأَرْضِ يَحْسُبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلُ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ تَعْرِفُهُمْ بِسِيمَاهُمْ لَا يَسْأَلُونَ النَّاسَ إِلْحَافًا وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِهِ عَلِيمٌ. These charities are meant for those needy who are so confined in the way of Allah, they are unable to move about in the land for providing their sustenance. The person ignorant of their condition thinks them free from want because of their abstaining from begging. But you shall know them by their appearance that they are in need. They do not beg of people with persistence, and whatever good that you spend for their help, Allah knows it surely well. So you see, in this verse and countless other verses of the Quran, there are people who at times are needy, who are, you know, in a position where they can't provide for themselves or their family, and they're too humble, too modest to go out and ask for help. But God says that, you know, you will be able to recognize them. And if at a personal level we can't go out there, then obviously we need to support individuals and charity organizations that are finding those people, that are actually going out looking for them and providing them that assistance that they need, that they are too humble to come and ask us for directly face to face. As I conclude for today, the 25th of Ramadan, let me leave us with a few points of reflection. Point number one, believers must always keep those who are struggling around the world in their thoughts, prayers, and where possible, financial assistance. The Quran focuses on those who are certain groups, such as religious scholars, political activists, and the homeless migrants who are seeking a better life, and those who do not have an opportunity to earn a better livelihood for themselves and their family, that we provide to these groups of individuals, as they are engaged in activities which are needed by the community. Point number two is that although Islam has mandated charity and benevolence to others, at the same time it encourages people to do for themselves and be self-sufficient rather than relying on others. And if that means traveling or migrating to another city or country, then as much as possible, the believers need to follow that rather than anticipate support from other people. Point number three, and we conclude, is that without a doubt, there are deserving needy people all around us, and rather than expecting people to come to our door looking for assistance, believers should take the first step and look for those in need and help them before the needy stretch out their hands. God willing, we will continue tomorrow in another episode of Ramadan Reflections. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.